Okay, we're good. Mem Gimel deals a lot with halachas of muktzah. As you recall, there's a general machlokas in Masechta Shabbos between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether there's such a thing as muktzah. Even Rabbi Shimon holds that in many cases there's going to be muktzah, but the basic area where they disagree upon is if I have, for example, some food that was put away for another occasion, the otzar, something that is usable, like a kli or a food that's usable, but it's just you didn't necessarily specifically set it aside for Shabbos, you have put it away for another occasion, like I mentioned, Pesach dishes, things of that variety. So Rabbi Shimon holds, since it's objectively usable on Shabbos, it hasn't been, you weren't maxed via dayim in a way that's unusable. Like if I put the dried figs on the roof to dry, the figs on the roof to dry, or grapes to dry, grogors v'tzimukin, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that's a problem of muktza. But if it's just eino min hamuchan, but it's otherwise usable, so Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no muktza, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is muktza. So there we hold, like Rabbi Shimon, that there's no muktzah. But in a variety of other cases, if I have muktzah machmas gufo, I have something that's objectively not usable, so even Rabbi Shimon would agree that that would be muktzah. If I, like, for example, a mace, so that's, if I have a person who's a dead person, we had that in the case of David HaMelech, earlier in the Masechta that we discussed, that David HaMelech died on Shabbos afternoon, and Shlomo HaMelech wanted to move the dead body so that it wouldn't decompose too quickly on Shabbos afternoon. So he asked, what should I do to be able to move the mace? So that type of a muktzah everybody agrees with. So there are certain things everyone agrees is muktzah. So the Gemara says, what if you have a mace? Even a mace, a muto v'chama. You have this case of a dead body that's lying in the sun and you don't want it to decompose. So there's a machlokis in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Amashmuel says that you are hofkomi mita lemita, that you can cause it to be essentially rolled from one bed to another bed until eventually it gets out of the sun. Rav Chanina Bashamia says, no, you're not allowed to engage in that type of indirect movement, but rather you have to find something that is movable, and then you'll move the two objects together. You'll put a loaf of bread or a tinok, who you are allowed to move. Let's assume there's no hotzah problem over here, or it's an enclosed area. But in terms of the muktzah problem, the whole problem of muktzah is that you're not allowed to be metalto muktzah. If you touch muktzah, we generally assume if it's not the type of muktzah that's going to move, it's a very heavy object, so that's not an issur. The issur is they're moving muktzah. So if you're not moving the muktzah directly, or you're moving something else, the kikarotinok, so that is going to be okay. So hey, fatika kikarotinok kuliyama lepligi deshari. Everybody agrees. You have something else to move. It's not just the mace. You're moving the kikar or the tinok, so that's okay. Kipligi delesle. The argument here says the Gemara is in the event that you don't have. Masav etiltu minatzad shmei tiltu. According to Rav Chanina Bashamuya Mishmei Darav, that you have to have a kikarotinok. That's because indirect movement of just tilting the beds and moving the mace from one bed to another bed is going to be a problem of tiltu. That is considered to be moving muktzah. Even if you're not moving with your yadayim, with your hands, the muktzah directly, you're causing the muktzah to be moved through another item, that's still considered to be the movement of muktzah, and you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Amar sov, alo shmei tiltu, and the Manda Amar, who says you can roll it from one bed to another bed, holds lo shmei tiltu, that it's not considered to be tiltu. Then the Gemara wants to say maybe it's like a machlokas tanaim about whether a mace could be used, could be moved in an indirect fashion to save it from fire, where we see that there's a machlokis of Yehuda ben Lakish indicates that you can, and those who argue with the Tanakama, who argues with Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, holds that you can't. So the Gemara then says, no, that's not the machlokis. The kuliyama tiltu min atzad shmei tiltu. Everybody agrees, both the Tanayim there agree that indirect movement of muktzah would be a problem. It's just that there, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish has a special cooler if there's a fire. There's a fire, so we're worried if we're not going to allow you to move the mace, then your people are going to extinguish the fire altogether. So therefore, since this is less of an issue, to move the mace in an indirect fashion, even though it really is tiltal, that's not as bad as extinguishing the fire, so therefore we're going to allow you to engage in this type of movement of the mace. And that's how it's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Simen Shin Ches, that we paskin, the beginning of Simen Shin Yud Aleph, that we paskin that a mace is only allowed to be moved even in this indirect fashion of being rolled from one bed to another bed if there's a deleika, if there's a fire. But if there is no deleika, so then even afilu lahavko mimita lamita, even to roll the mace from one bed to another bed, in the event that you're just trying to save the mace from being out in the sun, you're not allowed to do, because the tiltul min atzmatzad shmei tiltul, because it's considered to be a violation of moving motza. Even if you take a mutter object, a bed, and you're using the bed for purposes of indirectly causing the muksa to be moved. So Tosfos at the bottom of Mem Gimel on the base, on Dibur Amasko to Kuliyama, says that there appears to be a contradiction. Because on the one hand, in this Gemara, it appears that this is the halacha, the Kuliyama, that the Gemara says, Kuliyama tiltu min atzad shmei tiltu. We could have come up with a way of saying the kuliyama it's not shmei tiltu, but we're very pointedly saying no. The kuliyama it's considered to be shmei tiltu, and this demonstrates that this is the halacha. But then the yesakasha, because from the Gemara later on Kufkov Gimelam and Aleph, as well as a number of places throughout the Masechta and the Mishnayos as well, it appears that if muktzah can be removed. Or can be moved in a fashion where you're not moving the muktzah b'yadayim, but rather you're just tilting a non-muktzah item, and as a result you move the muktzah, that's considered to be okay. The Gemara on Daf Kof Kaf Gimel Amin Aleph quotes Rav Nachman, who's of the opinion that tiltul min atzad lo shmei tiltul, that it's not considered to be tiltul if you move muktzah in an indirect fashion. And the specific application there is a halacha that's quoted in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Tadai. Rabbi Eliezer ben Tadai says that if I have, for example, a radish which is in straw, or you have some sort of a food that's that is contained within dirt, where you're not allowed to move the substance around it, but if I move the fruit, I move the food out, I'm going to mimela cause the muksa items to be moved. They're going to fall away, and the tevin is going to fall away. In this case, the paga shetavna b'tevin. Rabbi Eliezer ben Tadai says, tochvin bakusha b'karka, you could take some sort of a stick, you could take a toothpick, you could take a needle, in order to remove the fruit, v'heimanaros me'eleim, and the hay, which is on the side, which is muktzah, is going to mimela fall away. So how are you allowed to do that? You're causing the muktzah to move indirectly when you move the object that is permitted to be moved. So the answer is, it's tiltul min atzad. Tiltul min atzad is okay. So Tosfos asks, how can we say in our Gemara that tiltul min atzad is not okay? And in the Gemara there, it says tiltul min atzad is okay. The Mishnayos have cases where you mistakenly, you were shokheach, you left money or items on top of barrels of wine that you wanted to use on Shabbos. So you would normally, if I have a muksa item that's on top of a non-muksa item at the beginning of Shabbos, so we say that the item underneath that's supporting the muksa item becomes a basis of the aser. It becomes prohibited just like the muksa item as a base to the muksa. And if it's aser, you know, at the beginning of Shabbos, it'll be aser the entire Shabbos. That's what we mentioned on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph today. I mean, we have a principle of Migo Diskatzai the Bein Hashmashos Diskatzai the Kuli Shabbos, that if it's muktzah during the Bein Hashmashos period, it remains muktzah the entire Shabbos. But if someone was shokheah, they just forgot the muktzah item on top of the non-muktzah. They didn't intend for it to be there on Shabbos. They just forgetfully put it there. So then we don't have a halacha basis for the thing that's underneath. But I still can't use the wine because there's muktzah on top. So you say, no, you could tilt the barrel and cause the muktzah to fall off. Because that's just tiltul min atzad. So how is it that tiltul min atzad is permissible if our Gemara says that it's not permissible? So Tosfos draws a very important distinction, which is codified in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shinyan Aleph Simches. What Tosfos says, it depends. If it's tiltul min atzad letzorach dava mutter, that I'm indirectly causing muksa to move, but my main thrust is for the sake of the non-muktzah item. I'm pulling out the paga from the ground because I want to eat the paga. I am tilting the barrel of wine with the muktzah on top that was forgetfully placed there because I want to drink from the barrel of wine. So that's mutter. Then we'll say tiltul min hatzad is mutter. But if you're indirectly moving a muktzah item, letzorach davar ha'aser, like over here, you would be rolling the mace from one bed to another bed, and your purpose is not for the bed. You don't have a concern about the bed. Your concern is the mace. You're trying to save the mace from being out in the chama, from being out in the sun. So that's a tiltul min hatzad letzorach davar ha'aser, and that's going to be prohibited on Shabbos. And that's the basic distinction. There's a very pointed comment that the Mishnah Berurah makes, just giving an application of this notion of total min hatzad letzorach davar ha'aser at the end of Simin Shin Yud Aleph. Just as kind of like an extreme example, he says teida l'nachon. What? At the very end of Simin Shin Yud Aleph, Sifkotin Lamentes, he says teida. He's talking about the terrible plague that there were people who were engaging in commerce on Shabbos. So that for sure is completely prohibited. You're not allowed to engage in maso matan on Shabbos. The kabbal hamol, so he says that they would engage in the maso matan, and then when they would get paid the money, so you know people are always cognizant of even if they're doing an isser, so they want to diminish the isser, right, as much as possible. These are people who have some sort of a notion of muktzah. So they would accept the money, but klio al yidei beged. They would fold the money. Say when the other person would pay them for the merchandise, they would say, "Don't put the money in my hands. I don't want to handle muktzah on Shabbos." But they would fold up their shirt and say, "Here, just put it inside the shirt," so that they would essentially be holding on to a davar mutter, their shirt, and the money would be folded up inside. Ogorei b'sakin, or they would instead of grabbing the money with their hands, they would drag it with a knife, which is a usable object on Shabbos. So, Movada Ra'a Gedola Shemekha Kumemka B'Shabbos, independent of the terrible evil that they are doing by conducting Mecha Kumemka on Shabbos, Kama Sam Yusinayim Yesh Pazet, that there's a terrible blindness in what they're doing, that they're not even accomplishing what they think. The Akishinema Desel Tiltul Min Hatzad, even if you would say that carrying the money, if you're going to make such an argument, that carrying the money indirectly through, you know, that you'll have it in your shirt as opposed to in your hand, and therefore it's tiltul min hatzad because you're really holding on to the mutter object and thereby moving along the muktzah object, halo bishvil davar aser. But this is not for the sake of the shirt that you're doing it, it's for the sake of the money that you're doing it. So that's tiltul min hatzad. It's tzarech davar aser, shu amos. Ain't shum sapik shu issa gamas. Even that is an issa gamas. They have two issurim, the mekel chomemker and the fact that they're handling muktzah. They're doing a double issur. So that's just one application of this general principle. So there's a rush over here. The rush in Simin Yates seems to have a chiddush that maybe we would draw a distinction between tiltul min hatzad and tiltul begufo. Maybe even though indirect movement, letzorech davar ha'aser, is something which is prohibited, as Tosfos points out. If you have movement which is not even indirect, you're not handling the muktzah item with your hands, so you're not handling the non-muktzah item with your hands, you're just pushing away the muktzah item with your body. So maybe the pushing of a muktzah item with your body is okay altogether. So what is the... what does the Rosh say? So this is Simon Yutes and Perikira. So the Rosh says that there's a case that we have later on that on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amun Aleph Vakash Al Gabe Hamita, where there's a straw which was mukta, wasn't set aside. And it's on top of a bed, but it wasn't, you know, set up like with a mattress or anything. That it was set up as, you know, official bedding. It just happens to be on top of the bed, and now the person wants to lie in the kash. But the kash is muktzah because straw that wasn't set aside before Shabbos is muktzah. So the Mishnah on Daf Kof Mem Aleph Amun Aleph in Perek Tolin says Hakash Alamita Lo Yinanenu Biyado Abaminanea Bigufo. You're allowed to just, even though you're not allowed to move it with your hands, but you can lie down on the kash. This is the person who's going to sleep down on the kash, and he's moving it with his body. His body is causing the kash to move, and now he's going to basically, even though it's muktzah, he's basically going to take advantage of this kash. So it's letzorach davar ha'aser. He wants to use the kash in order to be able to sleep comfortably in the kash, but the Mishnah permits it because he's not moving it with his hands. And he says, and never hustle with tzorach hakash, umuktzah umitaltel. He's moving in the tzorach hakash. So how is this permissible? So he says, hello kashit, the hustle am tiltul ein kan. It's not a problem because there it's not even considered to be tiltul. It's not tiltul biyadayim, it's not tiltul min hatzad, it's not tiltul at all. Kimo paga v'charava, like the case where you have a radish or a cookie inside the ground or a kol or inside the gachon, or shehu mitaltul on biyado. There he's actually being metaltel something, and it's causing the muksa item to move as well. But with kash, he's only being metaltel begufo, klachoyad. It's not to be a dime at all. He's just moving it with his body. Even though he's doing it for the purpose of the kash, it's going to be treated the same way as tiltul min hatzad letzorach davar mutar, which is permissible legamri. So on the basis of this rush, many achronim came to the conclusion that tiltul begufo is heter gomer, that you're allowed to move things with your body. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Siman Shin Ches, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. He says, Isa v'Siman Shin Yud Aleph Sif Ches, he quotes from there, the Tiltul Muktzah Begufa, Afilu Tzorach Davar Muktzah Mutar. Even if it's for the purposes of the Davar HaMuktzah, if it's Begufa, you're moving with your body, you're moving in a weird way, you're moving with your elbows, the Zelo Nikra Tiltul Klal. So even if you want to protect a Muktzah item, you have a dollar bill that's on the table, and you move it with your foot, with your elbow in order to get it off the table. You're not doing it via dayim. That's not tiltul at all. Even though it's a tzorach davar ha'aser, nonetheless, you want to kind of kick it around to a safe place so nobody will steal it. That would be permissible according to this. Lefizeh munach es davar muktzah la'aretz. According to this, if there's a davar muktzah that's lying on the ground, mutzah l'dachpo b'raglav kadesh lo yabalev, said you're allowed to kick it with your feet so that it won't suffer a loss, meaning that it won't get lost. You have some sort of a valuable item that's muktzah, you're allowed to kick it to the side, not just for your own purpose, but for the purpose of the fact that you want to. That you want to protect the muktzah items. That's a big chiddush, which is based on this interpretation of the rush. You have a couple of questions. Yeah.
Yeah. So tiltul is defined by hands, arms. Like where do you
hands? Tiltul is defined by hands.
So
it's
like
defined
you
by
hold
hands.
It under your armpit or something like that.
Yeah, also would be tiltul begufo.
So anytime you don't,
it's defined the normal manner in which you would handle an object. The normal manner in which people transport objects is with their hands. As opposed to other parts of their body. Now, let's say that there would be something that would be transported in the normal course with other parts of your body. So that's the question as to how you understand a different Gemara, which is later on in the Masechta. And that is the Gemara. Where is this Gemara? Hold on. This is the Gemara. Somebody is wearing shoes. He's wearing a sandal. And the sandal gets broken in the middle of Shabbos.
It looks sharp.
The kesharim, the
the 15th parak, the
right,
first
right, right, right. So here, I think it's what kofir aleph is, kofir beis, kofir beis. So the Gemara in kofir beis it tells the story of Rabbi Yirmiya, Ba'azil, Basrei, Rabbi Yavo, Bekamelis. He's walking along his way. Ifsik ritzua de sandalay, and the ritzuos, the straps of his sandal came apart. So the sandal was no longer properly wearable. It was no longer a proper. It was no longer really usable. So they had all kinds of different solutions as to how they would to wrap a gemi around it that there would be food that could be eatable in order to be able to move it. So the question is, why do they have to come up with all these creative solutions? why not just say that you could have kicked it with your foot? So we see from here, says the Chazon Ish, from the fact that we don't come up with that conclusion. This is the Chazon Ish in Simen Mem Zayin. The Chazon Ish has a discussion about Tiltul Begufo in Sifim Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet. The Chazon Ish says that we see that he quotes from the Gemara on Daf Kufchav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara Daf Kufchav Zayin Amud Aleph also has an example of somebody who is who could have conceivably kicked something with his feet. What's the Gemara over there? Hold on.
No.
Osa Shpil Baraglov. That's the case that he's talking about. Where you have all of these kupos that the Gemara is talking about over there, the tzibua that's stacked up. So here on the top of the amud, Emaskin Baosa Tzkila Baosa Vashpil Kadeshi Kanitz Vietze. That you can make a path. The Gemara says, "Osa b'shpil b'raglav k'nisaso v'yisiyaso," that a person can make can move with his foot. L'kan l'kan, tarach halikaso d'lo avi tiltul. That's what the Rashi says over there in Daf Kuf Kav Zayin Amud Aleph. He's moving around the tefua with his feet. So says the Chazon Ish on that Gemara. Mash v'dafka b'k'nisa v'yitziyah derach hilucho. That's only in order to enable people to walk in and out. A little bit, that's only if he's making the shvil, because he happens to be walking in the normal course that we allow him to kick the tefua around. A little bit edya, but otherwise we wouldn't allow him to kick the tefua. So that's the raya that the Chazon Ish brings. And others bring a raya. I thought the Chazon Ish brought this as well as a raya, but I don't see it in the Chazon Ish. From the case of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, that we see that when the shoe broke, we don't just allow the person to kick the shoe. So some explain that that's because shoes are generally, that's the normal fashion in which they're generally carried. They're generally carried with the feet. So since they're generally carried with the feet, so we understand why it is he does quote it. He quotes it at the beginning of Sifa Yud Beis. The Asa L'Taltal Minol Agavi Raglo. That you can't just carry it, you know, through your foot itself. So the answer that others give to that kasha of the Chazon Ish is that is the normal fashion of how one is metaltel a minol. I'm not sure what the answer would be given with respect to his raya from Kof Kof Zayin Amud Aleph. Maybe that's a stronger raya, unless you could say, no, just like you can push it aside with Knisaso v'Yitziaso with your feet. So that's just an easy way to do it. But really, you would be able to push it aside with your feet under any circumstances. So the Chazon Ish, though, has to be faced with, what about the Rosh? The Rosh brought a raya from the person who lies down on the Mita Shalkash, that Tiltul Minanea Begufo is completely permissible. So the Chazon Ish dispels that raya as well. And he says that he doesn't agree with that raya because he thinks that the Rosh only permitted it because it wasn't derech tiltul, it was derech shchiva. Because the person was just lying down to go to sleep on the kash. But if it wouldn't be derech shchiva, and a person would actually be metaltul an object in some crafty fashion in order to move the mukta, and it's just that he's being metaltul, he's just not metaltul with his hands, he's metaltul with another part of his body, whether it's his feet or whether it's another part of his body. So the Chazon Ish thinks that there's no raya from the Rosh whatsoever. So the Chazon Ish happens to disagree with this principle, and he thinks that tiltul begufo is not something which is permissible. So Rabbi Pinchas Badner, in his Sefer HaMuktzah, asked a lot of questions of Moshe Feinstein, and he says that when he questioned Rav Moshe Feinstein about whether one should rely upon tiltul begufo, so Rav Moshe said that one should try to avoid it. Unless it's a real shas of chak situation, and one has no choice but to really move the find some way to move the muktza aside. And the only solution that the person has is to utilize the notion of tiltul begufo, so then b'shas hadchak one can utilize it. But as a general rule, he didn't recommend it. However, I think most of the poskim are not like the Chazon Ish. I think most of the poskim are like as the Mishnah Berurah says, that we assume that it's like the simple reading of the Rosh, that tiltul begufo would be permissible, while tiltul min hatzad would not be permissible. Yeah.
This is for Rav Moshe's chumras for every muktzah, for muktzah machas.
Something which you wouldn't be allowed to move otherwise. I think he's talking about the simple cases, muktzah machas gufo. You're dealing with pieces of sticks or stones or objects that have no real utilization whatsoever, or even money, coins that have no real utilization on Shabbos. If it's a kli shemalakto l'isser, so obviously you're always allowed to move a kli shemalakto l'isser l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach mekomo. But you're not allowed to move it mekama l'tzel. You're not allowed to move it just from sun to the shade. So if you had to move one from sun to the shade, so presumably it would be the same issue. That muksa, that if you hold like the simple reading of the Rosh, that tilto begufo is mutter, so you can move these, then you would be able to move in mechama l'tzel through tilto begufo. If you hold like the Chazon Ish, so then mechama l'tzel, you wouldn't be allowed to use it through tilto begufo. I don't remember there being a distinction in Rav Moshe's Shita. I don't think he spelled out a distinction whether it's a kli shemalakta l'isser, it's being moved mechama l'tzel, or whether it's a muktza machmas gufo that you can't move for any purpose.
Well, the whole discussion is machmas p'seda.
The whole discussion is...
The primary discussion that we're saying now is machmas p'seda.
Machmas p'seda, yeah. Right. Well, machmas p'seda could be with a muktza machmas gufo, like a mace. A mace. I don't want the mace to decay. And I mean, a mace is muktza machmas gufo. So I could have a pseida situation, both with a kli shemalakta l'isser, where I don't have tzorach gufo, tzorach mekomo, or I could have that situation with a muktza machmas gufo as well. I could have a pseida in either case. I could have a potential pseida. Yeah.
I just wanted to just go over what was the lamed of the Chazon Ish. He said that you're trying to avoid doing feet because that's what you usually have it on your feet once it's broken.
In other words, you can say that in response to the Chazon Ish, that maybe the reason why the Gemara doesn't suggest that the shoes that are broken be kicked with the foot is because they're normally handled with the feet. And most muktzahs are not normally handled with feet. Most muktzah items are normally handled with your hands. But if you did have a muktzah item that was normally handled with your feet, so then it might be problematic to move it with your feet. That was in response to your question. Your question was, is it ever going to be a problem? Is it ever the natural thing to move with something other than your hands? So if it's shoes, yes, the natural thing with shoes is that you do move shoes with your feet, right? You put them on your feet and you move them that way. Yeah.
So is that how it happens all the time in Marja Kol, that like a bug will fly onto my Gemara? So I definitely can't shake the Gemara because that's still the Menatzah on Tzorach Dabar HaAser.
Why is that Tzorach Dabar HaAser? You want to use the Gemara.
Oh.
In all these other cases, that you're out to protect the Muktzah item. You want the Muktzah item off the table because you're afraid that if somebody sees the dollar bill on the table, they're going to snatch it and steal it. So you want it off the table so you can kick it to the side and people won't notice it. You're going to kick it to your bedroom. That's the Tzorach Dabar HaAser. But if it's like the case of the Chavis with the coins on top, where I'm tilting off the coin so that I can use the wine from the chavis, so that's perfectly okay.
So I can shake off my Gemara.
Yeah, that would be perfectly okay.
What about blowing the bug off?
Blowing is considered to be less chamor than tiltul begufo. That's considered to be like the most mild form. But Moshe said that he thought that blowing was if you're gonna be mako with tiltul begufo, kol shekein you should be mako with respect to blowing. Yeah.
It's not tilted when it's tied, but with a dead person, when someone passes away on Shabbos, I've heard the Chet Kedisha comes and closes the eyes. Is that true, and what's the heter to close the eyelids of a mace on Shabbos?
I don't know. I don't know too much about what Chet Kedisha do on Shabbos. I'm a Kohen. I know very little about Chet Kedisha. I don't know. But that's a sugya, but Matsiman, Same, so we'll maybe get to that sugya later on and figure out its relevance to your particular question. Okay, so there's a further question of once we say the tiltal min atzad is permissible, the tzor davar hamutar. So how do we define tzor davar hamutar? You were just asking me the question about the bug on the sefer. So we pointed out that's clearly tzor davar hamutar. But let's say I don't really need I don't need to do anything with the davar hamutar. Let's say it's not, you know, the cases we had so far is I'm taking out a radish, it's not attached to the ground, it was just being stored in the ground. Take it out from the ground in a way that there's no other malacha being implicated, and dirt is being moved. So we say there, the tzarek davar hamutar, I want to eat the radish, I want to eat the food, I want to eat the charara. Or the chavis, I'm tilting the chavis, I want to drink the contents of the chavis. The sefer, I'm tilting the bug, I want to read the sefer, I want to learn from the sefer. What if it's not the tzorach gufa, but the tzorach makomo? I have eggshells on a table. Eggshells are mukta. When the egg was inside, it wasn't mukta. Now I ate the egg, and all I have are the eggshells. The eggshells are mukta. Bones might not be mukta, right, because they're machal behema. But if I have eggshells on the table, there's certain things I might have on a table that are absolute mukta. So can I do tiltal min atzad, the tzarek davar hamutar, if the idea is not that I need to use the davar hamutar per se, but in terms of using it legufo, but I need its makom. I don't need to take the table anywhere. I just want to be able to use that space. So I want to get the eggshells off of the table. So is that permissible? So the Taz says that that is permissible. The Taz in Simen Shin Ches Sivkat in Yudches says that if I have muktzah on a table, I can take a knife, which is a davar hamutar, and I can drag away the muktzah with the knife. That's considered to be a tiltal min atzad, a tzarek davar hamutar. And that's also brought down the halacha by the Mishnah Brura in Simen Shin Ches Sivkat in Kuf Tes Vav. He says that... let's say that I have muktzah on the table, and I'm going to get the muktzah off through like a knife. Like I'm going to get off the muktzah item. He's specifically talking about like shells and things, eggshells and things that are not usable at all. They're not even machal behema. So he quotes from the Magen Avraham, it's motim utzarach lishtamash makom shemunach shamatzama sarklipin. If you need the makom, thinks that's also tzarach davar hamutar. I need the makom. Is there mikri tiltu min atzad v'sharim tzarach davar hamutar? So he says that's perfectly okay. He says that if I have a lot of stuff, a lot of eggshells, that it's like really yucky, that I have like, you know, 100 eggshells that are gathered together on the shulchan, so then you mutter lavir and be a dime, because then it's like a graf sharei. And it's like, you know, so disgusting. It's a separate head to graf sharei. We're not going to discuss right now. Rav Sharei might be a heter that's like a duchuya as opposed to hutra, but that's a separate discussion. But even if it's not like a Rav Sharei, so he accepts the Magen Avraham. He points out that the Bar Hetev has a kasha over there. The Bar Hetev says, why should that be permissible? Why does the Taz say that this is permissible? The Taz says that you're not allowed in Simon Shin Yad Aleph, Sivkat and Beis. The Taz says you're not allowed to be Dochev, Dovash, and Muksa, Yidei Kanim. I want to push away muksa through a stick. I'm not allowed to push away muksa through a stick. So the Mishnah Brura explains that basically the reason why you can be makel in this case is all based on the distinction of Tosos. Is it Litzorach Davar HaMutar or is it Litzorach Davar HaAser? So he says that since this is Litzorach Davar HaMutar, because you have to be mishtamish in the makom, so that's the reason why this case is different from other cases where you might be osir. That's what he explains to Sharatiyam, that it's not a kasha. That since this is the tzorach, the table, then I want to be able to use the table. So this type of cleaning up of the table, if you're cleaning away crumbs from a table, sometimes the crumbs aren't themselves muksa, they're edible. But sometimes you have things on the table that are like shells and the things that really are muksa. So you're not supposed to, when you're clearing a table, you're not supposed to clear them with your hands. That would be tiltal muksa biyadayim. But if you use a knife, you use some sort of a legitimate kli to get them off of the table, so that, according to the Taz, and quoted approvingly by the Mishnah Brura, is considered to be tiltal min atzad, the tzarech davar hamutar. The Chazon Ish doesn't like this either. The Chazon Ish quotes the Magen Avraham in Sif Yud, in Simon Mem Zayin, Sif Yud Dalit, in Sif Kotan Yud Dalit, in Yoredea. And he says that since that the Taz considers Kashi la Tiltum in Itzad Tzav Mekomo considers that to be Tiltum in Tiltum in Itzad Tzav Mekomo, Miu Yesh Lamed de Sel Omek be Tiltum in Itzad Tzav Dava Hamutter. He thinks that you can argue it's not considered to be Tiltum in Itzad Tzav Dava Hamutter. That's like if I forgot a stone on top of a barrel of wine. The metaltel a kli in my oven. The shema tiltel ala kli. So there, I want the kli. So I'm carrying the kli, even though the oven is still inside. Or I try to get rid of the oven. Aval hacha ikar a tiltel bishvil a muktza. But here, the main tiltel is what? It's not so much that I want. I want the sakin. I don't want the sakin. I want to get rid of the muktza. Afshe kavanasal and akas shulchan. Even though it's true, there's a side benefit that you're going to be able to get the use of the makam of the shulchan, but it's not like the main tiltel. The main purpose of the tiltel is for the dava mutter that you're being metaltel. So the Chazanish takes issue not only with the lenient interpretation of the Rosh that tiltel begufo is always mutter. He reinterprets the Rosh to say as holding that it's only derech shchiva on kash that's mutter, but he also has reservations with the heter of the taz. But lemaisa halacha lemaisa, both the heter of tiltul begufo of the that we derive from the Rosh is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah halacha lemaisa as well as the taz, who holds that even if it's letzorach mekomo tiltul minatzad. Is considered in that case as well to be in the category of Letzorach Dava HaMutter, and that would be permissible as well. Okay, any questions?
If the Taz is right, that would get rid of the Raya of the Rosh from the straw on the bed, because the Rosh is being mounted to the straw on the bed because it's Tiltul Begufo, so it's Mutter even if it's Letzorach Dava HaAser.
But that's not a case where I'm getting rid of the Kash in the bed. That's a case where I'm sleeping on the kash. I want the kash. I say, oh, this is going to be comfortable kash. I'm going to lie down on the kash. So that's why we say it is letzorach davar ha'aser, because I want the kash to go on me. So it's very much letzorach davar ha'aser, but because of the fact that it's begufo, so therefore that's the reason why the Rosh explains that the Mishnah permits it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Say the knife is okay.
What?
Part of place, take it off the garbage, and we'll be able to send it.